This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail.
Woo!
And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
When you post hunting photos on Instagram, they get censored. When you post on Go Wild, you get virtual fist bumps from fellow hunters. When you buy gear on Amazon, you gas up a billionaire spaceship. When you buy gear on Go Wild, we donate to a camp that teaches kids to hunt, fish, and shoot. See the difference? Go Wild is a free social community built by hunters for hunters. Join today at downloadgowild.com, and I'll give you $10 just for setting up your account. And you'll keep unlocking Go Wild rewards as you share content, because guess what? We like hunting pictures. Join at downloadgowild.com or in the App Store.
What's up, everybody? My name is Dan Johnson. I'm the host here at the Hunting Gear Podcast, and today we have kind of a good, bad, and ugly episode from one of our listeners. They reached out to me and wanted to talk about some of the products that they liked from this past year, they disliked from the past couple of years, products that they felt performed really well, products that they felt did not perform very well. And I'd like everybody out there to take these types of podcasts with a grain of salt, because this is one person's opinion. And I throw in a little bit of my opinion into this episode as well. We talk about things like Made in America. We talk about things like personal preference and how important it is to find gear that works for you, not necessarily gear that is popular or gear that is that your buddy's using, but gear that fits you and your style. And today's guest is a big guy. I mean, he's 6'6 or 6'4 or something like that. He's 275, and he has to deal with a whole different set of issues that guys like myself, I'm 6'2", 220, I don't have to deal with that, being, you know, longer arms, longer legs, longer torso, and things like that, especially when it comes to clothing. So we talk about a whole bunch of different things in this episode, and some of his experiences with some of the products. Again, take it with a grain of salt, because it's one man's opinion. And I love hearing this. I love these types of podcasts. Even though it's opinion-based, a lot of the content that's out there, and you heard it before with when we were talking with Tony Peterson on this podcast, a lot of the I shouldn't say a lot, you know, because with the birth of the podcast, there's a lot of content that is out that becomes more, how you say, real, right? It's not just an article that lists the specs, or it's not a review that just lists the specs. These are reviews that are real. Like, I hated this product because it did this, or it didn't perform like this, or it was too loud, or it wasn't very durable, and all this kind of stuff. So, and you're definitely going to hear this in today's episode. We talk about clothing, we talk about boots a little bit, we talk about climbing sticks, we talk about modifications to those climbing sticks and things like that. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Huge shout out to our three partners here, and that is Novex Outdoors. I'm still trying to get something lined up where I can talk to Novex Outdoors to kind of explain the transition away from Lone Wolf into Novex. Two completely different companies, but similar product lines. So then Lone Wolf. So there's a little bit of a story there. It's made in America. It functions the exact same as the old Lone Wolf brand. And I'm telling you right now, it's a good company, very durable, very quality product. Go to novexoutdoors.com and check it out. Hunt Stand, if you are looking for a app that has just a ton of different features, a hunting app with a ton of different features, whether that's the standard, hey, I need to know who owns this property. Is it public? Is it private? What are the boundaries? They have that. They have a variety of base maps, which are like satellite imagery, topography. I mean, you name it, they got it when it comes to the types of maps. Oh, and by the way, their satellite imagery is updated on a monthly basis. So it's really good and really new information. They have trail camera type management software along with that. You can drop points on the maps and basically just journal and document your entire time in the field, and all that information helps you get closer to game. So check out huntstand.com, enter the discount code SN20 for 20% off. And last but definitely not least, if you're looking for some kick-ass apparel, you need to check out TheAverageConservationist.com. These guys have a ton of kick-ass shirts, hoodies, hats. Love the logo, and especially love the logos and the artwork on their gear. But one thing that's really cool about what these guys do is they give 10% of all their profits to some form of conservation effort. So be sure to check them out. They are a company that not only talks the talk about conservation, and they do have a podcast here on the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, but they also walk the walk. They said, you know, when they started their business, and you can talk to Marcus Ewing about this, the owner, he wanted to do something where he was talking the talk, but also walking the walk. So check out the Average Conservationist line of apparel. Badass. I'm wearing the hoodie, or one of their hoodies and one of their t-shirts right now. So that is the intro today, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully everybody is having a great day. Hopefully, I don't know, it's gear. Like for me, this time of year is about the gear. I'm looking at new boots. I'm looking at a new sleeping bag. And for the most part, I honestly think that's all I need for the upcoming season. But, you know, as things start, as these new companies start to pop up, and we're doing all of this this research on gear, I'm sure there's going to be some things that I, and I'm saying this in quotations, gotta have. So a ton of more content coming out on this episode on this podcast in the upcoming months. Enjoy, and we will talk to you when we talk to you. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Hunting Gear Podcast. Today, we're talking with Brian Johnson. Brian, how we doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. How was your season this year?
Long.
Long. Long.
I didn't shoot a buck till, what's today? January 3rd.
January 3rd. Okay. So you went clear into the late season to get it done.
Oh yeah, my wife booked a very expensive trip to Mexico during the middle of the rut, and I couldn't tell her no because she was pregnant.
You got tricked, dude.
I know. No, well, and it was for a wedding too, and she pulled out all the excuses on me. So
all of them. Well, at least I guess at least you got a trip to Mexico out of the deal. What did you like? If that was me, let me just tell you what I would do if I had to go to Mexico during the rut. I would probably start drinking early in the morning, and then go sit on the beach and avoid everybody and pout.
That's essentially exactly what we did, except for obviously she was pregnant, so she babysat me quite a bit, and then there was a bunch of college buddies there. So all we did was we ate till we couldn't eat anymore, and we drank till we couldn't drink anymore, and then we would do, you know, they had concerts and stuff at the resort, and then we'd just go to sleep and do it all over again.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's a silver lining there. I would have rather been in a tree stand, but it is what it is, right?
Yeah, me too. I'm in a bunch of group chats with friends back home, and they all told me that where we live, they didn't really see much or much of anything. So it sounds like she was going to pick a week during the rut. I guess it was the best one, and it was pretty warm too. So
yeah,
I guess it worked out.
Yeah. So January 3rd is when you finally connected. Was that with a bow, muzzleloader?
Bow. I'm in Illinois, so our gun seasons are over in December.
Gotcha. Well, hey, man.
Unless you're in like a CWD county or whatever.
Gotcha. Well, hey, at least you got the job done.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't pretty.
But you got it done.
I had some does blowing real bad underneath me, and he jumped the string. It was only a 30-yard shot, but he jumped the string, and I end up spining him, so I had to go do all that. But
yeah.
Hey, man. It was.
Sometimes it happens that way, right? Sometimes it happens.
Yeah, I know. That's bow hunting. If you bow hunt long enough, something's going
to
happen.
Man, I had to spine a deer, or I didn't have to. I ended up spining a deer, 2016, and he just dropped. I'll say this, it sucked because I was in a good spot for deer movement, but I shot him in a pasture and it was wet, so I couldn't drive back there to get him. So I had to, me and my stepdad had to pick him up and like throw him over two fences in order to get him out and then drag him through a cultivated field where it was just a mud bath. And, we got the job done, but it was, I don't know. I look back and laugh at memories like that.
Yeah. I had, well, this guy, he, it was in the river bottoms and I had to cross the flood channel, like, on the one side of the levee, how they got those channels to hold the water.
Yep. Yep.
And I had to drag him across one of them, and then I gutted him, and I just draped all my clothes over him because I got really thick coyotes. And I had to call my cousin, who didn't get off work for another 3 hours because he had our deer cart, and then he's like 40 minutes away. So it was an ordeal.
Yeah.
But we got her. My wife was very upset. I wasn't home till 2 a.m., but I told her, I was like, listen, I don't know what to tell you.
I missed the rut for you. I love you. I'll see you when I see you.
Exactly. I love you very much.
Well, this episode is kind of a good, bad, and ugly episode where we kind of break down products that we used throughout the previous year. And you responded to a message that I put out on Instagram of some products that you used this year that you liked, that you disliked, and that you thought were a little bit good, a little bit bad, and a little bit ugly. And I think I'm just going to start right off here at the top. And that was some clothing from Badlands. What category did that fall under, and what did you like or not like about them?
I guess there's a couple different pieces that I could go in both directions with. The good part, there's a pair of pants called the Calor, C-A-L-O-R is how they spell it.
Okay.
And those are the warmest, nicest, best pants I've ever worn, bought, whatever in my life.
Gotcha.
The material, I'm not 100% what the lining is, but it's very, very warm. And you don't really have to wear a whole lot of layers underneath. And the cuffs or whatever it's called at the bottom by your where your boots are.
Yeah.
Those are the perfect size to fit over, like if you were to have like lacrosse boots or something like that, like a knee-high boot.
Yeah.
They're the perfect size to fit over those. So it's like snug and your pants aren't moving around. But the warmth is the huge thing for me.
Yeah.
And it's got flexible knee, they got flexible knees. And if you walk through a patch of like burrs or whatever, the beggar's lice or whatever those things are called.
Yep.
You can just take your hand and just swipe them right off.
Okay. That's a win right there if you ask me.
I know. That's worth the $200. No questions asked.
Yeah.
And like that, just to have a warm pair of pants with that feature.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then the...
One sec here.
It's just a high quality pair of pants.
Yeah. So with those pants though, you mentioned warm. So are they designed for a mid season to late season hunting pant, or can you get away with wearing them early season too in hotter weather?
I would say mid to late because they don't breathe well.
I gotcha.
What I wear with them is I just wear my, my cheapo long underwear bottoms and then a pair of jogger sweatpants underneath with like some cheap joggers from like Kohl's or whatever.
Yeah.
And then those pants on top, and I've never gotten, my legs have never been cold. And I've coyote hunted in February, I've deer hunted in November, and they're just an absolute great pair of pants.
Okay. So, and those cost $200, you said.
Something like that. I don't know. I bought them a couple, a year or two ago, but their prices have gone up a little bit, but they do. This maybe not everyone knows this. They also, if you're a first responder, they offer you a discount. So
you got a discount.
If anyone out there is interested, just if you're a fireman, ambulance driver, cop, whatever, or military, email them customer service and they may be able to help you out.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great benefit. I noticed that there's more companies doing that, either first responder or military or, you know, police officer and or whatnot. Now, so that was a good, and that sounds like something that you would definitely recommend as far as a pair of pants is concerned.
Correct. I had one or two of my buddies that hunted with me this year. I had them talked into them, and they both were happy with the purchase as well.
Okay. Now, there was something else from Badlands that sounds like it maybe wasn't so great.
I just had some issues with their sizing. I'm a very odd-shaped individual. I'm like 6'5". 280 pounds. I have really long legs and a really long torso and really long arms. So nothing really fits unless it fits perfect. So I just found that their sizing and stuff was off, and I wanted to buy the matching coat for the Kalor pants or whatever they're called, the Kalor coat.
Yeah.
But that thing barely went down to my belly button, and it was the 2XL size. It was just past my belly button.
Right.
So some of their sizing, I think on their tops, I think they're on their pants, their sizing's great, if true to size or whatever. But their tops, I think it's kind of hit and miss. So what I've started to do, before I even worry about buying anything from them, I'll just email or whatever, somebody from customer service and ask, you know, what, because certain lines of things will fit differently. I said, well, what fits like this? And I'll give them an example, and they'll lead me in the right direction typically.
Yeah. So that sounds like a big and tall issue. You know how a regular fit is for me, I'm 6 foot and I'll fit into a regular shirt, a regular XL. But when you start getting taller and then the torso gets expanded, it almost seems like you would need a tall fit for some of their upper body stuff.
Yeah, probably. And that way you can tuck it in if you want to. There's a lot of ways to do that, but they don't offer anything in tall, I don't believe. Maybe some base layers, but or some pants, but I don't think they offer any of the coats in tall.
Gotcha. And, but, you know, that's kind of a tough shit type thing. You know what I mean? I mean, that's not any, like, I look at that and I don't say shame on you, Badlands. Right. That's more of a,
right.
They're probably not, their average customer isn't 6'5".
Right. That I am the exception to the rule with virtually everything when it comes to clothes.
Yeah.
And even my shoes, I have size 15 and a half shoes. Like what the hell?
Yeah. So you're not rocking one of those ultralight tree stands?
Well, I'm still under the weight limit, but no, I got a lone wolf alpha is what I mean.
Oh, alpha. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, as far as clothing from Badlands, or I think you mentioned some other clothing things that you had this year that you kind of, whether it was a layering system that you kind of came up with that worked, or a couple pieces that worked for you?
Yeah. Up until this year, I've been using a lot of, because when I was in college, I played football, and I was in up in Wisconsin, so we played a lot of cold weather games.
Yep.
And I have a half a dozen pairs of like that Under Armour or Nike cold gear stretchy yep. undershirts. So I was just basically wearing two or three of those as a base layer for my uppers.
Yeah.
What I started to do this year, and mind you, I'm still balling on a budget, so I don't really spend a whole lot of money on hunting clothing necessarily.
Right.
So I what I did was I start scoping Black Friday sales as soon as they come out, and I found there's a Scheels in my town, or the town I'm from. I don't live there anymore, but there's a Scheels in Springfield, and I started to really like some of their store brand stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah. then so I got a pair of heavyweight base layer, the heavyweight base layer top from Scheels, which I think is regular price is about $40 or $50, and I got it on like 40% off on Black Friday or 50% off, whatever the deal was.
Yeah.
And that is very, very warm, and it has it's tight around the forearm and the wrist.
Yeah.
So, and it's also got the thumb hole on the wrist, so you can pull it through your coat.
Yeah.
And it doesn't slide back up. That's a win-win for me, because my arms and shoulders and I'm just a large person. Everything's an issue.
Yeah.
So that was really nice. And then this past Black Friday, I got a set of base layers. It was buy one, get one free on Bass Pro Shops website. So I just got a regular crew neck, midweight, like a long sleeve shirt, the old school type of base layer, but it was maybe like a wool polyester fleece, or a polyester fleece, not wool, on lining on the inside.
Yeah.
So, it's form fitting, and that allowed me to cut down on my bulk. Because I'll just do one layer of the polyester, like the cold gear Under Armours. And I'll usually do I won't do like the full-blown, like fleecy ones. I'll just do like a long-sleeve regular one. And then the Bass Pro Shop shirt on top of that, and then the Scheels shirt on top of that, and then usually just a hoodie and a coat, and I'm good to go. Or a hoodie and a vest, and I'm good to go for a white, like up and down until it gets pretty cold, unless it's windy. But
yeah,
those are very, very affordable. And I like the Bass Pro Shop store brand stuff, the Redhead brand.
Yeah,
you can get some of that stuff for like $9 a piece, and I have the same pair of base layer bottoms from Bass Pro that I've probably had them since high school, and I'm in my 30s now.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I have, I'm assuming it's the same. You have the upper body stuff, but I have a pair of Scheels base layer, their store brand, heavyweight base layers. And you're right,
mm-hmm.
man, that stuff's awesome. I love their base layer. And I only really wear it when it gets below freezing. I don't know. I sweat easy when I walk to the stands, and that holds mm-hmm. in moisture. Like if it is a big walk, and it's right around that 30 degree mark, I'll sweat a little bit when I walk in with those base layers on. But if I, you know, and then I'll sweat a little bit, and then I'll wear another micro base layer, an ultralight base layer underneath that. And then then a pair of pants over top of that, like a Carhartt or a Dickie type pant over that. And yeah, I'll sweat a little bit going in, but it'll dry out pretty quickly. Are you a sweater? Like when you start to get moving?
I sweat a lot. Yeah. Usually I'll wear, I'll keep my bottom half intact. Like, I won't do anything with my bottom. I'll just dress at the truck with whatever I'm going to wear on my bottom half.
Yeah.
And then I'll just wear one or two top layers and then pack the rest in with my stand.
Yeah.
And then, like, because the way those pants are set up, you can wear them with a belt or the suspenders, but usually I'll just throw the suspenders on over my base layers and then put everything else on top of that. So you can just peel those suspenders off at the bottom of the tree and then throw the rest of your layers on and then climb up. So I may not even need to wear all my base layers necessarily. I can just tuck those into my coat and roll them up.
Yeah.
And then, so I'll just basically wear one or two layers and then, so I don't sweat bad walking to the stand, and then just throw it on at the base of the tree. And it's just, you know, one shoulder to one shoulder, and then you just flip it back up and you're good to go.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Any other type of clothing that you want to talk about before we move on?
I inherited a couple pairs of boots from my uncle, and one of them, I got some bogs and some lacrosse.
Yeah.
And I very much prefer the lacrosse to the bogs.
Okay.
Except unless it's in, you know, like early season, because like the sole on the lacrosse are so much thicker.
Yeah.
And the bogs, it's almost, I like it in the early season with the bogs though, because you can feel what you're walking on.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But if you're looking for traction, they're not the ones for you.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, that was the only thing I think I bought that was new this year, or not bought, but got that was new this year.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So try not to get extremely pissed when you talk about this next thing, because before you voiced your true opinions about this product before we started recording, but the Hawk Helium climbing sticks, talk to me about what you, you know, that's foreshadowing of you didn't like them. What about them that you didn't like?
It was when they first came out with the whole suction cup versa button design, whatever year that was. Whatever ATA that was, I bought them the next spring.
Okay. And how long ago was
that? The first batch. I used them in 2020, and so it would have been probably spring of 2020.
Okay.
And is when I bought those. So it might have been either the 2019 ATA.
Okay.
Or 2020. I don't remember.
So
dude,
two seasons
anyway,
deep.
So I used them for one.
Used them for
and
one.
And this year I sold them.
Okay.
I got the full length ones. I did not get the minis. So, I have friends that have the minis and haven't had any of the issues I have had. So I think it's probably just a design problem, but the full length ones, they're supposed to be 30 inches, top step to bottom step. I found that the Versa button is way too high. It's not centered enough, which makes the bottom kick out real bad. I never had a serious issue with it, but I never had an accident, I should say. But I had plenty of times where I'm trying to set it and the bottom's just kicking left and right, and you just can't get it tight enough for it not to do it.
Yeah.
The brackets, the standoffs, are held together with, I think it's a screw that's way too narrow. And then they end up coming loose all the time. You got to tighten them. And then the more you tighten them, the more pressure, side pressure that gets put on them. And then they flatten out and strip in certain spots. They torque up and down. They don't stay at a 90 to the tree. When you put your weight on it, they'll torque up, if that makes sense. Like they'll bend almost.
Okay. So,
and
torque up. So when you go to put all like your body weight on them, then what shifts
picture
up?
Picture the cleats that are touching the tree. Picture those staying in the same spot, but everything else going down, like the end that's attached to the stick itself.
Yeah.
Will go down, and the standoffs will almost be canted upwards.
So it flexes.
And then Yeah, it flushes quite a bit, and when it does that, it gets looser way quicker, and then it starts to make these ungodly noises. And I was getting to the point where I was checking my standoffs every other day, and then carrying two ratchets in my truck just so that I could tighten them. And then the steps themselves, they fold in and out. Ugh. And I never had any issues with the steps. I thought the teeth on them were really nice, and they flare up at the end. And I thought that was really nice, but they fold into like a track, and then those get bent because it's, I think, cheap aluminum on the post, and the more you take them in and out, like fold them in, fold them out, the bolt in there, it strips itself because it's it basically wears it so that it's flat. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but if you put a screw in or a bolt that's threaded,
yep,
and then if you have pressure that sits on it or you move it enough, the threads will damn near wear off and they'll just be slick.
Yeah.
I had that. I guess I used them too much. And the more I would move the steps up and down or fold them in and fold them out, I had almost every screw or bolt, was worn completely slick in the middle where the step was.
Yeah.
And then you try and back those out with a drill or whatever, and it gets caught, and then you got to hammer them, and it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So I think in general, and I've always been a double step guy. My feet are too big. I'm just too big of a guy. And so I think I'm just done with moving parts.
Yeah.
Like, and sticks with moving parts just aren't conducive to me. And I just I just haven't met anybody that's been truly happy with them. And I think that I bought the generation one of these, and they just weren't that great yet,
yeah,
or at all. And the biggest thing, I think, a safety issue is honestly where that Versa button's at.
Yeah.
It's like 4 inches, or not 4 inches. It's only a couple inches from the top step, and it's supposed to be a 30 inch stick.
Yeah.
So you got the whole bottom two thirds with just nothing.
Yeah. Man, I'll tell you right now, you just described something that you were more patient with that product than I would have been. Man, if I was trying to run and gun with that and set it up, and and I had to take extra time out of my day to tighten bolts or address the product because of, I guess, not only the mechanics, but the material used to make it, it'd be in my garage, and I'd have something else. I'd be using something else.
I had a climber I used too, that if I got, I would find excuses to use the climber over the stick sometimes. But
yeah,
the my big issue was I tried everything in my power to get them to work because they were only $109 or whatever. They served the purpose. My wife didn't throw a fit at the price type of thing, and it was fine for what it was. But the more and more I used them, the more and more I got fed up with it. And then I hunt with my cousin a lot, and he is super anal about his equipment.
Yeah.
And he's just a big gearhead. And he and I hung together one time, and I heard how loud they were,
yeah,
from the ground while he was setting my sticks, and I hung him the next day, and I had a moment of clarity. It doesn't sound as bad when you're doing it, but when you're hearing it from 15 feet away, it's just ridiculous how loud and squeaky and the ungodly noise they make.
Yeah.
So once that finally happened, I was like, you know what? I'm just done with it.
Yeah.
And I didn't, honestly, I, after a while, I just didn't feel safe using them.
Yeah. Hey man, I don't blame you. And on top of that, it's not the first time I've, heard, I'm trying to remain unbiased here, but it's not the first time I've heard people not like that brand's, some of their products, man. As a matter of fact, you know, I've heard a lot of guys on the actual I guess the peg that folds up, right, bending all the way down, right? And I'm surprised that because of your size, that didn't happen to you, where the step just keeps going straight down. And so hey, you're not the first person that's had an issue with some of that stuff from Hawk. And I don't know, just hearing stories from a handful of people, you know, you start to, like, one person comes on and says, hey, this is bullshit, I don't like this brand, it's garbage. You take it with a grain of salt, but you start to hear other people, like 5, 6, 10 people talk about it, and how, you know, guys who I trust and guys who hunt hard every year go get their product, and then they're just like, I'm either selling it or I'm just not going to use it, because it is exactly what you just mentioned, man. And it's unfortunate, really.
Yeah. And they have some stuff that's great and some stuff I just think that they overstepped and they tried to do too much too early. I think that they could use a lot more R&D on some of their stuff, but then again, it's a flooded market. So there's only so much you can do, I guess, but I think that they have potential. I just think that they need to stop making their shit so cheap, but yeah, that's just an opinion.
Yeah. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Yeah. And I think when Hawk was
one more.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say one more thing with them. You mentioned you brought up my size, and that's the reason, I think, is that I didn't have an issue. Because if I was, you know, 50 pounds lighter, I probably wouldn't pay as much attention to my equipment. But because, you know, I'm within 20, 30 pounds of that weight, the quote-unquote weight limit,
yeah,
I tend to be a little more particular about my stuff because I don't want to take, you know, have an accident. So I think that's the reason I was a lot more anal about checking my stuff.
Yeah.
So... but it is what it is. I changed the hardware on those things probably in 18 months. I probably changed the hardware on them twice.
Yeah.
Which is absurd.
Yeah. I have, you know, and this is biased because they sponsor, but with my Lone Wolves that I have Lone Wolf tree stands that I've had for 10 years that I've never had to replace stuff on. It still looks good. You know, I check the cables and the bolts. It still looks good, and I feel 100% confident and safe in that product. And it's just, I don't know. It just, I don't know. It's a gap that the company has to fill with, you know, in order to compete. But, you know, obviously some products are better than others is all I can say.
Right. And you can't argue that the Made in America stuff is the stuff that's truly, you know, from idea to sales floor, the stuff that's truly made in America is head and shoulders above a lot of their competitors.
Yeah.
So
it does not hurt. I'll tell you that.
Something to be said for, yeah. And I'll tell you, and there's with the today's, you know, political and social climate, there's a lot of people out there that are willing to spend a significant amount of more money to get stuff that's made here and is quality because they're tired of replacing shit. They're tired of buying Chinese junk. And they just want something to work, and they want something in their life to be reliable. And I'm totally in that same category.
That's fact. So you have a couple other products here I want to talk about, but because we're on the climbing stick talk right now, let's talk about the hunting bee sticks. Sounds like you got a pair of those. Was that because the Hawks didn't turn out like you wanted them to?
Correct. Correct. I told my wife, I was like, listen, I know they're going to be expensive, but I know what sticks I want, and I don't feel safe using these other ones. And she kind of looked at me and she said, you know, do what you got to do. I'd rather have you spend $400 on climbing sticks than fall out of the tree. So,
yeah.
So that's what I did that night. I just went home and I waited. Actually, we had that conversation. We were headed to my mom's house for something. On my way home, we had that talk. I checked the website. They were sold out. I checked it 3 hours later in like the middle of the night when I was at work, and they were back in stock. So I just ordered them in the middle of the night that night. The same day we had that conversation.
Okay.
Because the only, and I had never used them before, but my cousin bought one of them, because he has the single steps, and then he likes to use a double step for his top stick when he hangs.
Yeah.
So he bought one single beast stick off somebody on Facebook, and I used it, and I was like, these things are nice.
Yeah.
So that's why I went with those.
Yeah. And they have those holes drilled in them, right?
Yeah. I didn't buy those kind though. The kind without the kind without the holes are like $25 cheaper per stick.
Gotcha.
Or some shit like that. Something like that.
Yeah.
And I figured that as big as I am, the no holes may hold up better.
Okay. All right. So you ended up, getting the B sticks. And how many different varieties of B sticks are there? I don't have the website open in front of me. They have short and long sticks too, right?
Yeah, I think they've got a 20 and a 24 inch stick, and then a holes and no holes.
Yeah,
essentially.
Okay.
So four different kinds.
Gotcha. So you went in, you got those. How many did you order?
Well, this is the funny part. I ordered four, and I don't know, there must have been some miscommunication in the warehouse. They sent me four, but three of them were the same, and one of them was not the same.
Okay.
So I emailed Mario that day and that morning, and he had another one en route within 20 minutes.
Okay.
So I emailed him about it, because I guess there was a prototype, or not a prototype, but like a, when they started to make the no-hole sticks, they made them just straight, absolutely no holes. But then they started to sell them with that system with the threaded rod or whatever to keep them together. Well, they made the no-hole sticks with one hole to use the threaded rod that they sell. So I had three with that hole for the threaded rod and one without.
Okay.
So now I have five sticks, four with a hole, one without a hole. So I just have one as an extra. But the... Yeah, so I have five total I use four.
All right, so
routinely.
Your first time out using them, how did they perform? And then, like, obviously it's hard not to compare what you just went through with those Hawk sticks to the B sticks that you then were using.
Right. When I tell you it was the most night and day difference of using a piece of equipment, I am not kidding you.
Yeah.
The Hawks, they flex, you can just tell when, like, you set them that it's like only about 75% solid, you know, the antler bracket, they call it, or whatever the standoff is on the Hawk or on the B sticks, those things bite so incredibly well. And the, there's a specific way you got to set them to where like the, so that they work most efficiently.
Yeah.
And then they have the tapered grooves on the teeth, or the tapered bottom on the teeth, so that it's like you have down pressure, and then when the strap pulls it back up, it just seats perfect. They don't move whatsoever. I've used the straps and also Amsteel daisy chains. No issues with either one. There's two bolts per step, which I like a lot. Everything is press fitted, so the tolerances are extremely low on these, and there's absolutely no movement in any of the pieces, and it is just a very high quality piece of equipment, in my opinion. And the most solid climbing stick I've ever used, and I've used original Lone Wolf custom gear, the swivelly bracket ones. I've used Novix, which is the same thing pretty much as Lone Wolf. The Hawks, obviously, and then some other just generic ones, and these are just heading like so much better.
Yeah. So when you ended up putting those on for the first time, you noticed a big difference. But what was the cost for those four sticks?
I want to say there were $75 or $79 a piece.
Okay.
I believe.
All right, so
don't quote me on that, because I think the original one for four of them holes.
Not about right.
that, yeah, but then, yeah, shit, plus shipping. Yeah, that's probably under about $335, I imagine, out okay. the door or to your door.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So a little bit more in the cost department, but heads and shoulders above the previous, you know, the Hawk Sticks that you had. And I take it that it just eased your mind a little bit going, you know, continuing to climb up in the tree stand.
Oh yeah. And setting a 24 inch stick is much easier than setting a 30 inch stick. Yeah. Doesn't seem like a lot, but when you got a two step 24 inch stick versus a three step 30 inch stick, and then just the weight distribution and the funkiness of it, it's a lot easier. Plus you can haul in more sticks. They're much lighter.
Yeah.
I had to stack them differently, but I don't care. It's actually, I like the way the B sticks stack better than the Hawks did. Cause I'm not using I'm just using a regular Lone Wolf Alpha. So it's like I'm mixing brands, but there's a specific way to, essentially the most efficient way to stack both of them. And I like the way the B stick stacks better, like sideways. Yeah, I just can't say enough good things about them. The only singular problem, and the customer service. And then I've watched some videos on them before I bought them. Customer service is exceptional. Talked to Mario a couple times. I've talked to Dan on Facebook. Both of them, very, very high quality. They care about their customers, in my opinion. They started making everything in America, which is why I think the prices went up a little bit. I think when they first started to make sticks, I think they were doing it overseas, and that's completely changed. If you look on their website, it looks like everything's made in America now.
Yeah.
The only problem I've had, and I've been meaning to reach out to Mario about this. It slipped my mind now the season's over. I'm having a hell of a time silencing them.
Okay. What are you trying to do to silence them?
Because when you hold them, just a bare stick, and then you can, with your fingernail even, you can make it sound like a tuning fork sound.
Yeah.
And like it's all machine metal and all that. And it's just the metal is just so loud. So I did like two or three layers of hockey tape on all of them. I hockey taped the steps even in between the teeth, the standoffs in between the teeth, you name it. And that helped a lot. That helped a little bit, but I had to keep adding more layers because it was loud.
Yeah.
And, so I guess another thing, I talked to some people, I reached out to some guys on YouTube or whatever that have had the sticks, and I started to set up slower, which is not really my MO, and I'm kind of clumsy as it is. But I started to take my time and just set up significantly slower than I normally would have. And I'm just making myself be quieter.
Yeah.
Cause I don't want the things to clang together. But the only issue I've had with those so far has been the silencing. And I think the no holes have something to do with it. I'm not positive, but I think the ones with the holes are probably quieter because there's just less metal. It's essentially a tube at that point, what I have, and it probably echoes inside itself.
Yeah.
And but even the steps and the standoffs, you just flick it with your fingernail and you can hear it's like the little ting, and it's not that bad anymore. But when I first got them things, dude, it was bad. So yeah. I think this, and also I don't have stealth strips. I didn't want to drop all that money on stealth strips.
Yeah.
So I used the hockey tape. I'm willing to bet that if I went to the fabric store and bought a bunch of thick ass black felt or something, or bought stealth strips, then I could solve most of my problems. But I tried to go the budget route and I got like $11 wrapped up in all this tape. So I may just
says the guy who just spent $350 on a tree stand, doesn't want to spend $11 more on tape.
Well, no, I spent $11 on the two rolls of hockey tape. I didn't want to spend like $20 or $30 a stick on stealth strips. My problem.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So, but my cousin's got a bunch of random shit left over, and I may try and stealth strip one of them and see if that works, and then I might just do the rest. But that was the only issue. Otherwise, dude, as far as the way they perform, top notch.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this, man. I just hockey tape my sticks. Some of them, anyway.
That's what I got. Yeah. It's just a random digital camo hockey tape.
Yeah,
is what I did. But I just was like 2-3 layers later, I finally got it to where it was, you know, the noise was dead enough for my liking. I mean, it's still not perfect, but I just felt like I had an easier time. Silencing the hawks, even all with those obnoxious moving parts and shit. So
yeah.
But like I said, totally different design.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so the next one and the last one that we're going to talk about today is some lighted Nox you bought from Amazon.
Yeah, this will be quick. Don't.
I love those.
I don't remember what the brand was. I don't remember, but I'm telling you, they were so cheap. You know, it was one of those, it was too good to be true. I should have saw it coming type of deals.
Yeah.
The button was on the outside, which I thought for summer practicing, that'd be great. Cause I don't have to get my little tool out or whatever, my knife, and turn them all off and shit. And
yep.
Whatever. But I hunted with them this year. I ended up shooting four total arrows this year. And the only one that lit up was the one at point blank when I put that buck out of his misery.
Okay.
So basically, I was just shooting clear colored regular Nox.
Gotcha.
And these Nox had. I've always had great luck with nocturnal. Never had a problem.
Yeah.
But I always had a problem. But what I did have a problem with was I was getting sent a mixed bag of stuff when I would order it from Amazon. So I think from now on, I'm probably just going to buy that stuff in a store somewhere, but I'm always trying to save money, you know, on sales tax and stuff. Cause Springfield sales tax is obnoxious, but I was getting sent like, whether it was the wrong size, like if I need an X knock, they were sending me a G or whatever. The sizes were off. I was getting like the shapes were different. Like it was just a mess sometimes trying to get the right knock. So I just said, I'll just try these. These are the right sizes. But then you look at the review and it's like 1.5 stars. And you're like,
maybe I'll give it a try anyway.
maybe they're just mad, but they were. And then if there's 300 reviews on something and 250 of them are bad, the other 50 are probably robots and liars.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's another thing. As we got a baby coming, so I got to, we're budgeting a lot harder. So I got to start, making more, I guess, throwing money away on stuff. So I'm not buying any more Chinese lighted Nox on Amazon anymore.
Yeah.
I think I'll just stick to the old nocturnals that I had so much luck with.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I don't even know what brand they were. About 3 years ago, I put some lighted Nox, and maybe I'm an idiot, which that could be, but I could not get, like, I would turn them all. I would shoot the arrow. It would turn on, but then I couldn't get them turned off again. And so they'd sit in my quiver just on, and I just left them on. So, and then obviously throughout the summer, the batteries wore out and I never, did anything to change it or anything, but that was a bad experience. I didn't like them. And I no longer use lighted Nox because of that of that one experience that I had. And I will never put lighted Nox on my arrows again.
Yeah. Like I said, I always went with the nocturnals, never had a problem, but it seems like I have a problem with, finding arrows. So
yeah.
I always shot them. But then this year, I probably only had, I only bought a 3-pack of those. That was what saved me.
Yeah.
I only bought a 3-pack of these cheapo lighted Nox. I said, to hell with it. Because this is the first time I shot micro diameter arrows. I had shot, you know, the 244 inside or whatever. So I was shooting the 204s.
Gotcha.
This time. Gotcha. This year. I switched arrows, and so I wasn't able to transfer over all my nocks. Instead of spending $100 to outfit all my arrows, I said, let's try this for $15.
Right.
So I had the regular, you know, the red nocks that come with the box. I had those on most of my arrows, and then just these first three or first four or whatever with these other nocks. But yeah, I think I'm, because I buy arrows by the dozen typically.
Yeah.
So I'll maybe buy one box of lighted nocks for like the first three arrows in my quiver. And then the rest, I'll just let it ride. So if I shoot all three in October, you know, I shoot a bunch of does or something, or I break a couple, I'll let it ride out the season with the regular nocks, because, I mean, no point in changing your setup in midway through the year. But
yeah. Yep. Well, Brian, man, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to come on and talk about your experiences with some of this gear and stuff. So thanks for your time, man, and good luck if you do anything this winter, or start scouting or start planning for the next year, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna start coyoting now that the deer season's over, and we're gonna start running a trap line at my house and for the next month or so. But yeah, I got paternity leave coming up, so I'll have almost a little over a month at home with the wife and the baby, so that's going to take up the rest of my time till pretty much probably April.
I feel you. Well, congratulations on the baby, man.
All right. Well, it's not here yet, so hopefully everything goes as planned.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.